Hello and welcome. This is Nancy reading with you from the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette for Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. We'll begin with our main story on the front page. The headline is The Plots Thicken. Sensors Replacing Soil Sampling. Researchers are trying something new on the country's oldest experimental crop field. Instead of using soil probes, workers are measuring the soil at the University of Illinois' Morrow plots with sensors. While each probe only took a small amount of dirt from the ground, that added up over the years. If you do that for 136 years, you pull a fair amount of soil out of the plot, said U of I agronomist Bob Dunker, who manages the three plots. This year, that changes. Before planting last week, Morrow Plots used a Veris Technologies optic mapper to measure soil electroconductivity, pH, and organic matter without removing any of the soil. The optic mapper is pulled behind a tractor and uses a dual wavelength optical sensor about 2 inches below the surface to take measurements, while a high-resolution GPS records the location. It makes a much higher resolution map than if we'd go out and individually take soil probes every 30 feet or so, Dunker said. They'll run the optic mapper again in the fall after harvest, and they'll be able to compare results to previous year's soil samples. It allows us to take a look at trends and changes in soil quality, Dunker said. Dunker sent the data to Veris to make sure everything was calibrated correctly, and expects to have those results soon. Once that's determined, the optic mapper should return results more quickly than the soil samples. It's also easier to use the optic mapper, Dunker said. If you've ever had to physically take soil samples, it's a lot of work, he said. Also on page one, longtime director saying so long farewell. Now playing on NewsGazette.com, Illini basketball forward Michael Finke, doing his best Danny Zuko, singing a G-rated version of Greased Lightning. Anything for Suzanne Aldridge, his, and 26 years worth of other Centennial High School drama students' beloved teacher. The two teamed up on WDWS 1400 AM Tuesday morning, 5 days before the retiring Aldridge's last act, a callbacks benefit that will assist the Cliff Rocks Foundation, which provides college scholarships, trips, and computers for young cancer patients in honor of her son Cliff. Sunday showtimes are 2 and 7 p.m. Here's some numbers. 267 alums coming back for Aldridge's finale, including New Yorker's David Robertson, who will do the lighting and be in the show, and Sarah Malone Kenny, who now works with Disney Educational Theater. 26. How long music director Marion Wyatt has been by Aldridge's side. She was there again Tuesday morning, sitting on the ground in the crowded Penny for Your Thoughts studio playing the keyboard. And 175. Shows put on by Aldridge. The last one will feature 31 current students, 22-plus songs, and 3 other Aldridges. Bob is doing the sets, Will's in the drum line, and Cliff will be there in spirit, she said. And although it doesn't directly say this, I'm pretty sure that Suzanne Aldridge is the retiring drama teacher from Centennial High School. In our Top of the Morning feature today, we have something about a local bridge tournament. More than 400 players are expected to compete at this week's Illini Regional Bridge Tournament, which kicks off Tuesday night at Hawthorne Suites in Champaign, 3 sessions per day through Monday. And editor Jim Rosso asked Chairman Karen Walker if it gets rowdy. We're quite civilized, and there are a lot of proprieties we follow to keep the game ethical, she said. Still, the players have fun. You'll see a lot of laughter at a tournament, especially at tables where the players know each other. This week's lineup might include Lou Henson, a regular at the tournament held in Champaign-Urbana since 1993. He's been playing for at least 60 years, and he gets better every year, Walker said. If I practiced really hard, could I beat him? No, but Coach is such a nice guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he would let you beat him. How long does it take to get good at bridge? If you're serious about it, maybe a year to become good-ish. Great is almost impossible, although I've spent more than 40 years trying to get there. It's a game that can never be mastered. What do bridge players do when not playing cards? There are lots of Illini fans at our local club, a good number of movie and TV buffs, too. Trending now is Fargo on FX, which features the main characters competing at a regional bridge tournament. Can non-players come watch? Yes, they're called kibitzers. What should we look for? Pick out someone who looks like a good player. Their swagger will give them away. And pull up a chair. Feel free to ask questions after a hand is over. The players will be flattered. We have court news today from the Champaign County Sheriff's Department. Alleged abduction attempt still under investigation. Chief suspect free on bond in unrelated case. A man who police say was in a van involved in a reported abduction attempt in unincorporated Urbana over the weekend was arraigned Tuesday on unrelated charges. Champaign County Sheriff's deputies were continuing to investigate the alleged abduction attempt. Todd Brian Milner, 51, who listed an address in the 300 block of North Glen Street, Urbana, was arraigned on a petition to revoke his probation for a misdemeanor assault conviction. Police said Milner allegedly failed to do public service work, did not participate in a required anger management program, did not attend a required partner abuse program, abused alcohol and cannabis, and did not pay his fines following a 2015 assault conviction. Milner was originally sentenced to probation in June 2015, and resentenced to more probation in February 2016. Police said Milner was in a van at the intersection of Glen Drive and East Illinois Street at 8 p.m. Saturday that stopped near two children, a 12-year-old girl and boy, who were riding their bicycles. According to accounts provided to the Champaign County Sheriff's Office, a man got out of the vehicle and began chasing the children on foot. The boy and girl abandoned their bikes and ran. The girl told authorities that the man got close enough to grab her arm, but she was able to pull away. About 20 members of the Glen Drive neighborhood attended Tuesday's arraignment hearing. Milner remains free on bond pending a June 21st hearing on the petition. Man admits to theft, receives 4 years. An Urbana man who admitted he stole items from a Champaign home almost a year ago has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. Jack Beasley, 46, who last lived in the 1000 block of Eastern Avenue, pleaded guilty Monday to theft before Judge Roger Weber. He admitted that in late May 2016, he stole items from a home in the 1200 block of Mayfair Road in Champaign. A more serious charge of residential burglary was dismissed in return for his plea. He was also ordered to make restitution of $1,000. Beasley was a friend of a woman who was feeding cats for the residence, a Champaign police report said. She had allowed him to stay with her in their house. On June 10th, he pawned a ring that was identified as belonging to the homeowners. Beasley will serve the sentence at the same time he serves one he received in February for burglary and theft for stealing from the Champaign Walmart in July 2016. A jury convicted him of those charges on December 1st. Court records show he has prior convictions for domestic battery, aggravated driving under the influence, driving under revocation, burglary, aggravated battery, forgery, criminal damage to property, and unlawful possession of ammunition and battery. Restitution service brings dismissal of theft charge. A Chicago man who was charged with stealing Legos from the Rantoul Walmart earlier this year has made restitution and completed public service. Because of that, the state's attorney's office dismissed misdemeanor retail theft charges against Ralph Stout, 52. Stout was criminally charged in early April following the February 3rd theft of Lego miniature figures from the Rantoul store. Store officials contacted Rantoul police, who examined surveillance video, to learn that the same man stole about 147 Lego figures twice that month. They linked Stout to the theft because he had his car serviced there on a visit. In mid-April, Stout was referred to the Misdemeanor Second Chance Program in order to make restitution of $583.59, perform 20 hours of public service, and take an online educational course aimed at stopping shoplifting. Having completed all those conditions, the case was dismissed last week. Assistant State's Attorney Travis Ellis said Stout had no criminal record. We will move on to our local section now. From the Chanute Air Force Base, we have the headline, Chemical Agents Not Found in Soil Tests. No evidence of formal chemical warfare training was found during an extensive investigation of a site on the former Chanute Air Force Base. Paul Carroll, Base Alignment and Closure Coordinator for the former base, told members of the Chanute Restoration Advisory Board that during a recent search period, 100 metallic items or anomalies were found, but all but one were likely related to construction debris. Most everything was pipe, rebar, etc., Carroll said. The only other item was an empty 50 caliber shell casing that posed no hazard. From 1943 to 1951, the 3-acre area was used to train personnel in chemical warfare use, but you couldn't tell that by what the inspection team found. The team also conducted 35 soil samples on the suspect area, northeast of the intersection of Century Boulevard and Chandler Road. They were searching for possible chemical agents, chemical agent breakdown products, volatile organic compounds, metals, and explosives. There were no chemical agents found, Carroll said. The team also collected samples for volatile organic compounds, metals, and explosives, which were sent to a lab. Test results are not yet in. Doug Roeke of Rural Paxton, an RAB board member, said a photo of personnel at the site frightened him. He said the equipment was inappropriate for testing for chemical and biological warfare materials. But Carroll said the team was searching for training materials, not warfare equipment. Thus, the equipment and monitoring were completely appropriate. Then Roeke charged that the Air Force allowed high school students to plant crops in the suspect area after it was determined it had been used for chemical warfare training. Carroll said there were plants being planted in that area, but the day we found there was potential for this type of training, we notified the village of Rantoul to cease and desist that activity, and they did. That did not happen, Roeke said. It did, Carroll countered. In Tom Kasich's column today, his headline is Property Taxes, Matter of Locale. The primary issue in the ongoing struggle to finally pass a state budget, at least the way Governor Bruce Rauner and some of his Republican allies see it, is a local one. Property taxes. The biggest issue that now stands in the way of us reaching an agreement is resistance to freezing your property taxes and giving you the ability to control whether your property taxes go up or down in the future, Rauner said in a video Tuesday. We will always stand on the side of taxpayers and homeowners and make sure we get an agreement that is fair to you. If that strikes you as odd, maybe because of where you live. If you live downstate, you may hear occasional complaints about property taxes, but not with the ferocity of those who live in Chicago and its suburbs, the majority of Illinoisans. Property taxes there are much higher, and a much hotter topic, than in East Central Illinois, in some cases more than 5 times higher. How about the gigantic gulf in median annual tax bills between Lake County, $6,881, and Vermilion County, $1,366. That's based on a 5-year average, 2011 to 2015, calculated by the U.S. Census Bureau. Other studies show similar results. Champaign County's property tax rates ranked somewhere around 13th or 14th highest in the state. Its population is 10th. Almost all of the higher tax rates are in the Chicago area, with Lake County tops. The median tax bills during the 5-year period among Chicago area counties were DuPage, $6,274, Kendall, $5,988, McHenry, $5,941, Will, $5,567, Kane, $5,735, DeKalb, $4,687, and Cook County, $4,586. Other counties with rates higher than Champaign County's, and which aren't in metropolitan Chicago, include Boone, McLean, Monroe, Winnebago, and Woodford. The state average is $3,995. Champaign County's, according to the Census Bureau's 5-year median calculation, was $3,226. The median bill in other area counties was Piatt, $2,356, Iroquois, $2,148, Ford, $2,011, Moultrie, $2,010, Douglas, $1,987, Coles, $1,880, DeWitt, $1,872, Vermilion, $1,366, and Edgar County, $1,218. Property taxes weren't mentioned during last week's state budget forum in Champaign, sponsored by NPR Illinois, although income taxes and funding for social services, higher education, and K-12 schools were. It's another indication that this is a big state with some big divides in interests, politics, economics, and culture. TV ad touts Davis. The Conservative American Action Network Political Action Fund is paying for about $25,000 in television commercials on Champaign area cable TV systems to promote U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Taylorville, and the GOP-backed American Health Care Act that he supported. The ACHA is the bill that essentially repeals and replaces the Obama administration's Affordable Care Act. The 32nd AAN spot urges viewers to thank House Republicans for the better health care we deserve. Davis is among 21 Republican congressmen, also including Representative Peter Roskam in suburban Chicago, who are beneficiaries of the $2 million TV ad campaign. The other congressmen are either, like Davis, facing competitive re-election contests, or are in leadership or on relevant House committees, according to roll call. Davis has come under attack from some constituents, particularly in the Champaign-Urbana area, for his vote in favor of the ACHA. The American Action Network spots began on Tuesday in the Champaign-Urbana market and are scheduled to run until at least June 5th. They'll be seen on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, ESPN, Hallmark, HGTV, History, and TNT channels. David Wood. Libertarian David Wood, who ran for local office 3 times in a 3-year period and then gave up, undoubtedly was ahead of his time. Mr. Wood passed away April 15th. A private service for his friends and family will be held next week at his farm near Philo. Viewed today, Mr. Wood's positions nearly 20 years ago are pretty mainstream, a combination of Bruce Rauner, Donald Trump, and others. He was for legalization of marijuana, against public employee pensions. It offends me to pay taxes for someone else's retirement. I'm not asking anybody to pay for me. A crackdown on university and other bureaucratic waste, elimination of government mandates, and a review of the criminal justice system. If we decriminalize nonviolent consenting adult behavior, we could clear court dockets and jail cells for real criminals. And he was fun and a bit of a showman. He did stand-up comedy as Captain Freedom. And when he lost in 1998, getting 2% of the vote, in a race against longtime State Representative Tim Johnson and future State Treasurer Mike Frericks, where both spent about $49,000, Mr. Wood joked that, "Maybe I should have spent more than $600. Next time, maybe $800. He ran for the Illinois House in 1998 as a Libertarian, again in 2000 as a write-in, and for the Urbana City Council in 2001 as a Republican. Mr. Wood was a mechanic who enjoyed working on cars and motorcycles. In more court news, Champaign man who wounded wife gets 3 years. Husband pleads guilty to shooting spouse in back accidentally. A Champaign man who said it was an accident when he shot his wife in their Champaign home last year has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Judge Heidi Ladd sentenced Derecio D. Carter, 25, who pleaded guilty in April to reckless discharge of a firearm, a Class 4 felony, on Friday. In return for his plea, Assistant State's Attorney Lindsey Clark dismissed a more serious charge of aggravated battery with a firearm, alleging that Carter shot Kenesha Thagert Carter, 24, in the back with a rifle. "The victim is very adamant it was an accident," Clark said. "He was adamant from the get-go that it was an accident, and we had no one else to prove otherwise." Champaign police said at the time of the December 14th shooting, which occurred in the family home in the 500 block of North James Street, Carter said he had just bought the rifle and was sitting on the couch cleaning it and racking rounds when it fired. At sentencing Friday, Clark presented evidence to Ladd to show that Carter had contacted his wife from the jail, a violation of the conditions of his bond. Thagert Carter also testified Friday, telling the judge that she is now completely recovered from the shot, which apparently hit her in the lung and spleen and forced the removal of her spleen. She told Ladd she wanted her husband home. After the shooting, Carter fled in a car, crashing into two other vehicles as he sped off. After the crash, he hailed a cab, which was spotted by a Champaign County Sheriff's deputy, who stopped it and detained Carter. He told police then that the shooting was an accident. The couple's two children, ages 1 and 3, were in the house when the shooting happened, but were not harmed. They were removed from the couple and are with other family members as a juvenile abuse and neglect case winds its way through the court system. With credit for good time, Carter is expected to be released in about 7 months, Clark said. Man sentenced for attack on woman's ex. An Urbana man who pleaded guilty to his role in an attack on a woman's ex-boyfriend has been sentenced to a year of probation. Malachi Johnson, 25, who listed an address in the 900 block of East Water Street, pleaded guilty Monday before Judge Heidi Ladd to mob action and had more serious charges of home invasion and aggravated battery dismissed by Assistant State's Attorney Lindsey Clark. Johnson was charged in connection with the January 26th incident, in which he and two others went to the home of a man who had previously dated co-defendant Cheyenne Miles, 22, and allegedly beat him up. Miles pleaded guilty earlier this month to mob action for the same sentence. Co-defendant Sean Long, 26, is set to appear in court again June 6th. Clark said the victim was harassing Miles by sending her messages and videos on Facebook. Upset by that, she enlisted Johnson and Long to confront him at his apartment in the 1500 block of Philo Road, Clark said. The victim had his glasses broken and had some scratches, said Clark, adding that all three defendants admitted they went to his apartment to confront him and fought with him. As far as who hit whom and caused what injuries, I have no idea, the prosecutor said, of the facts. Clark said Johnson had no prior convictions. He was also ordered to perform 30 hours of public service. In our area update, we have the headline, Home Sales Slow Down After Uptick in March. After a strong March, home sales were down in April compared to a year ago, according to the latest Champaign County Association of Realtors housing report. Total home sales decreased 17% compared to April a year ago, down from 229 to 190. Year-to-date sales are also down slightly compared to 2016, from 645 to 630. I was a little disappointed with the sales numbers because the month before had been so great, but that's real estate, CCAR President Jim Waller said. Nationally, it was the same all over the place. Waller said home sales declined in Champaign County in April because of lower inventory, economic factors, and affordability. He also cited the ongoing state budget impasse, which could be a factor for state employees. Inventory is still low, with some buyers not being able to find what they're looking for, Waller said. If you're looking to move, now's a great time. In April, the median home sale price increased 2.6% from a year ago, from $145,000 to $148,725. Mortgage rates remain relatively low, with the average 30-year fixed rate for April at 4.04%, according to the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation. That's up from 3.61% in April 2016 and down from 4.22% in March of 2017. Waller said the outlook for the rest of the year remains strong. The numbers are still good. We're comparing them to 2016, which was a really good year. I think we're going to be just fine. From Paxton Buckley Loda High School, students resilient after bomb threat. Paxton Buckley Loda High School students lost very little instructional time Tuesday morning, the school district superintendent said, despite increased security protocols being put in place following the discovery of a written bomb threat. Superintendent Cliff McClure said PBL High School students' backpacks were searched and metal detectors were used by police as students entered the school Tuesday for classes. But the students handled the situation well, McClure said. The kids were very resilient, he said. The students were great. The staff was great. We literally started class on time. Everyone was just very cooperative and flexible. McClure sent an automated message to parents just before 6 a.m. Tuesday, informing them that a high school custodian discovered a note in the school late Monday evening, with the author of the note threatening a bombing at the school at 9 a.m. Wednesday, May 24th. School administration contacted the Paxton Police Department, and with the cooperation of the Champaign County Sheriff's Office, the high school was searched by administration, police, and a dog trained to locate explosives, McClure said in his message to parents. Nothing was found, and the building was cleared for occupancy in order to hold school. McClure said in the message that high school students would not be allowed to enter the school until 7:30 a.m., and their bags would be searched as they entered. The bomb threat continued to be investigated by police and PBL administration Tuesday. McClure would not say whether any suspect had been identified. We'll take a quick look at this day in history to finish up our first half hour. And locally, on Wednesday, May 24th, in 1967, an 8-year-old Urbana girl was bitten by the first animal at what could become the first Champaign-Urbana Zoo. Sandra Cope of rural Urbana was bitten on the right cheek by a baby lion that broke loose from the Variety Pet Shop on North U.S. 45. Harold Lambden, owner of the shop between Urbana and Thomasboro, said he planned to start a zoo and the lion cub would be one of the first animals. And on May 24th in 2002, Provena Covenant Medical Center said it would displace about 34 of its employees to help make up a budget shortfall caused in part by cuts in state Medicaid reimbursements. And on May 24th, back in 1917, John Kasdorf of Urbana received the following communication from his son, also named John, who was on board the battleship Nebraska. "Boys of Champaign and Urbana, don't be slackers. Boys, remember your country is in a state of war with Germany, and now is your chance to serve her and remember your forefathers as I did. The Navy is the best place for you to get good pay, good eats, and a good place to sleep, as I know by experience." Well, we'll take a short break now, and then I'll be back with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. Please stay tuned.